Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is daughter of Yisrael Abel, Deaconess Sarah, and I would like to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Deaconess Leah, and I'd like to now introduce to you the sons and daughters of Yisrael Abel.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is daughter of Yisrael Abel, Naomi, and now introduce to you daughters of Yisrael Abel, Yisrael Lily, and Yisrael Lana.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated.
My name is Yisrael, and I am 5 years old.
Our topic today is We Are Choosing Righteousness. We, the children in the house of Yahweh, are choosing righteousness. We, the children in the house of Yahweh, are choosing righteousness. We, the children in the house of Yahweh, are choosing righteousness. Deuteronomy 6:25. And it will be our righteousness if we observe to do all these laws before Yahweh, our Father, as He has commanded us.
May you help us speak.
We will start and you will finish.
Righteousness is the narrow. 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 That comes from Yahweh.
For our conclusion, I would like to remind you to always practice righteousness, because if I can, you can too. And with that, I would like to turn it over to the next teacher.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. My name is Noam Hawkins, and the title of my speech is Protection. I have always heard the word protection, but I don't know what it means. So I looked up in the Webster's Dictionary, and it said, protection, to keep safe, shield from danger or harm. Everyone wants to be protected, right? So how do we receive this protection? Please turn over to Yechezkel 20, verse 12 and 20, found on page 461. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbath, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies them. And hallow, make holy my Sabbath, and they will be a sign between me and you, so that you may know that I am Yahweh, your Father. In Exodus 20, verse 8, we are told what day is the Sabbath. Exodus 20, verse 8, found on page 61, and it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Therefore, Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This day is a sign between us and Yahweh that we belong to and only worship Him. It is a mark. The house of Yahweh is only place that teaches how to correctly keep the Sabbath day. In Colossians chapter 2, we are told that the keeping of the Sabbath day is a shadow from things to come. The word shadow means protection, as in Psalms 91. The house of Yahweh is the only place that teaches the correct way of keeping the Sabbath day holy. It is here we get our instructions to stay protected. Now, I have an acronym for you, for the word protection. Being P positive and R rejoicing at the house of Yahweh is to help us all obey and learn to teach so we can make E-educated choices to stay together in unity with Yahweh. Praise Yahweh for your time, and I would like to remind you to stay safe. We need to get our instructions from Ava. I would like to turn it over for prayer.
And now I'll turn it over to daughter of Yisrael Abel, future priest Tetzaria.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Beatrice Tesaria, and the title of my speech, you may be seated. We have a wonderful program today. I'd like to leave you with a few words to remember. As the holiday season approaches, you'll see on the media or in the stores things that look fun or exciting. But these things, such as gifts and pagan decorations, are not of Yahweh. The media will aim their ads towards us, children, as fun, exciting, and holy. But do not be deceived by the power of this word. Jeremiah 10, verse 2 to 3, from page 581. It says, this is what Yahweh says, do not learn the way religious practice of the heathen, gentle nations, and do not be deceived by the signs of the heaven. So the heathen are deceived by them, using them to set their feast. For the religious customs of the people are vain, worthless. I was born and raised in the house of Yahweh, and I do have fun. But righteous fun, based on Yahweh's laws and not traditions. I look forward to the seven-day Sabbath, the feast day, classes, and most of all, learning to become a righteous teacher. Praise Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with you.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. Okay, this morning we want to send out a very special appeal to the parents, mothers in the great house of Yahweh, who are sitting here this morning, to mothers who are tuning in to listen to us this morning, and of course to those out in the world who say or who know the house of Yahweh has the answers. Great house of Yahweh. There are many influences out there in the world. Negative evil influences that are going to take the children down. They're going to break up the moral lives of the children. So therefore, today, we want to ask that, or I want to ask you rather, Great House of Yahweh, what are we doing to ensure that our children are going to choose Yahweh's way over everything that's going on in the world? What are we doing? Have you ever thought, whatever it is out there in the world that the adversary has allowed, she has allowed it to destroy the mind. Did you ever think it? Confusion, Babylon, to destroy the mind. So I ask the question, why the mind? Why do you think Great Father Yahweh always said, guard your mind with all diligence? Why do you think the unclean food that we eat out there, that they eat out there? Why do you think that tapeworm comes and goes, the tapeworm, and goes into your mind and then you're dead? And all the things and the lusts and the things that appeal to our senses, our eyes, our ears, our nose, our mouths, our senses. Ultimately, any law that's broken, it's going to affect our mind. So I asked a friend, I said, tell me, find out on the internet or so, what percentage of the mind does mankind use? Anybody knows? 10% of the mind mankind uses. They said, well, the scientists, and I think we got the research from, they got the research from me from scientificamerican.com. So the scientists are arguing and they say, you know what? Maybe it's not 10% per se. Maybe, you see, we use all our mind, but then we do not understand 10% of it. I have a mind somewhere there. Can you see it? I'd like to show you something. There's a chart of the mind. Let me explain to you what I did on the brain. 10% only mankind knows what occurs to the 10% to discuss it and explain it. 10% of the brain means what? Let's do it mathematically. Those of us who do math. So 10 over 100 gives you the 10%. 10 over 100. So it means that take your brain and divide your brain into nice 10 parts. But be sure it is 10 equal parts. 10 equal parts. And now take one little of those parts right there, of those 10 equal parts. One part is what mankind knows about. One part. Great House of Yahweh. Let me ask you, children, if you know the answer, say it nice and loud so all the microorganisms can hear you, okay? And they'll know House of Yahweh has the answers. Children, mankind only understands one part of the 10 parts of your brain. The adversary and all the fancy things she has out there to consume us is meant to destroy the brain and the power that Yahweh has to give us from this brain over here, the mind, the brain. Who is it who can answer every single part? Who knows about every single part of the brain? All the 90% and the 10%, 100%. He can answer anything about the brain. Who is he? Great House of Yahweh, don't you think this is where and the person we want to be with, we want to please and choose? The one who knows and can answer every part of the brain, not allowing the influences out there to destroy it. What is it out there that is so pulling and influencing us? The young people, for example, let me talk to us a little bit. Okay, the music. Okay, what kind of music is it? We cannot tell the children, well, there's no music or the music is terrible. It might be best for us to tell the children, the young people, yes, there's music out there, yes, yes. But what is the music going to do? Do you really want to take a part in the music that's going to affect and break down the power of your brain? Tell them. Don't tell them, no, there's nothing out there to influence them. Tell them, yes. But what choice do you want to make? I'll give you a real example. There is really something in the world that is pulling. So I heard grandmother asking the children, tell me law number so-and-so. Okay. Tell me the meaning of this law here. Okay. Little answers here and there. Then one day I heard a little one of mine passing by singing, this is my fight song. You never heard This Is My Fight song? Nobody never heard it? It's on the news playing every advertisement. So I said, did she just sing that? Because I know I'm not hearing the song, Yahweh, Yahweh, why have you forsaken me? So I know it's not a House of Yahweh song. So they said, well, it's on the news. It plays during the advertisements. So do you see how quickly the influences are out there? How captivating they are? So parents, it's best we tell the children, you know what, but the choice is yours. Do you agree, Great House of Yahweh? Tell them, don't you want to keep the power that Yahweh wants to give us? The ability to sing and do so many powerful things, to use our brain cells. And that reminds me, on singing, whenever there's a new song coming, I always ask the great judge, can I join the choir? And she tells me, no. So I say, please, let me join the choir. She says, So I want her to know in the kingdom, when I can use my 90%, 100% of my brain, when I'll be singing in the kingdom, and I hit that soprano note, although my voice is a little low, then she'll know why I was really asking to sing on earth. So, what I'd really like to share with you really is our brain and the power that Yahweh is giving us. In a workshop a couple of days ago at workshop, we were doing this from the Book of Israel, 8 part 2, page 313. I'm going to read it to you. It's something the great Kohan Yedidia said that I want to share with us. He was there with these people, and he was afraid of going to this woman because he thought that she was very mean. So I'll read the part here. She looked at all my books. She asked me what they were. I told her they were sermons by Israel Hawkins from the House of Yahweh. Then another lady stepped up and said, these books would look really great on my bookshelf above my desk at home. She asked if there were more of them. I told her to go to YisraelHawkins.com and she would get an order there. They also liked my Book of Yahweh. I told them it was my heartbeat. Do you see the powerful heartbeat the great Kohan is speaking about here? If this is your heartbeat, Great House of Yahweh, then no influences in the world can take you down. Do you agree? And do you agree he knows what he's talking about? Yes? So, Great House of Yahweh, we are obligated to get this kind of heartbeat in the heart of our children. We are obligated to get this to be the heartbeat of our young people. Do you agree? We have to put our feet down and we have to do it, not just for us, but for the benefit of those out there who do not know what it means to have this. I'll just hold them both together for you. The heartbeat of our children. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. It's an honor to stand before the called out ones of Yahweh. The title of my speech is, We All Belong to Yahweh. Do you belong to Yahweh? Yes, I belong to Yahweh too. That before I get up in the morning, every morning I have a sign on my wall, and that's the first thing I remind myself of every day is I belong to Yahweh. So to make sure I'm in the right place, talking to the right people, at the count of three, if you belong to Yahweh, I want you to say, I belong to Yahweh. One, two, three. I belong to Yahweh. Well, I'm in the right place. Praise Yahweh. So since we belong to Yahweh, I ask the question then, what belongs to us? And I'm not going to give you my own interpretation of what belongs to us. I'm going to let you know what Yahweh says belongs to us. In Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, The secret things belong to Yahweh, our Father, but the things revealed to us, the every word that proceeds from Yahweh's mouth belongs to us and to our children forever, so that we may perform and do all the words of the law. So we belong to Yahweh, and Yahweh's every word belongs to us. And how blessed we are. Now I ask another question. Who do your children belong to? Yahweh. They belong to Yahweh. That's right. Yahweh gives them to us to care and raise up and to prove to him what we're going to do with the blessings that he gives us. And those of us that have had children know that raising children is a full-time consuming task. And so what instructions are we given concerning our children? It's law number 11, Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, which says, And when you feel like it, teach your children. When you're not tired or when it doesn't conflict with your own schedule, when it's convenient for you, then you can teach them the laws of Yahweh. No, I see a lot of heads shaking. That's not right. Let me check this out. Oh, yeah, I think I was in the wrong place here. Let me try again. And you must teach them, now you saw the word must, teach them diligently to your children and talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk on the road and when you rise up and when you lie down. And that's 24/7 hour every day of the week job. I've been blessed to have children. In fact, when I came to the house of Yahweh, I had one son, and, well, when Yahweh called me to his house, I was pregnant with my second child, which was my daughter. And I felt so honored to have been called by Yahweh. Sorry. Because everything that we want for our children is that we don't want them to have what we had out in this world. In raising the children, when she got to be about 4 years old, I just was watching her one day, and she just loved this scripture. She loved the scriptures, the stories. She memorized the verses quickly. She just loved Yahweh. Everything was Yahweh to her. It's because I guarded her. There was no TV. We had no TV in our house. We had no, we didn't go out and do a lot of things out in the world. We lived on a dead-end road all by ourselves. So we were very secluded, and I felt very blessed by that. But she was 4 years old, and I looked at her one day, and I was so in awe. I was like, She has no mixture. She has no garbage to bring into her life like we had when we came into the house of Yahweh. We had a lot of garbage to get rid of. And I was like, wow, she is so amazing to me. And I said to a friend, I said, you know, when I grow up, I want to be just like her. You know, I did. I wanted to have that kind of spirit that only had Yahweh and nothing else. And it was like, wow, I felt so blessed to be able to see that in a child and to know that's what I wanted to become. In growing up with these children, and I've had five, I was very blessed to have children, and you learn so much. Yahweh teaches you much through your children. And I know one thing he taught me is that you need to make the way of Yahweh a delight to your children. You need to set it as an example of joyfulness. And one of the ways we did that is they all had to make sure they had a job in the house, just like we in the house of Yahweh have a job, to make it like we belong here. And we need to have a part of building this house to show that we belong and that we're going to be part of building this holy house up. And even in your own houses, your children need jobs. And so we had plenty to go around in our house. And as little as they are, when you can start them, or they want to start a job when they're little, encourage that. I remember my youngest son, when he was about a year and a half, he wanted to help do dishes. He wanted to wash the dishes. And you know, that will be a twice as long job having a 1.5-year-old do the work, because you know what? You're going to have to go back in and clean it all up when you're done anyway. But I said, oh, great, okay, you can help. And you have it, it's all wet, dripping all down to the floor, hands, everything is wet. Dishes are pretty clean, you know. But then you're just so thankful that they had the desire. And don't ever let your children think that they're too little to help. Anytime they have a desire to help, make that way for them, even though it may be more for you. Teach them that they can have a great part in helping build your house. 19 years ago, there was some sermons given. And they were put in the newest, the second newest, the 14th book of Israel, part 1. They're called the Plan Genealogies. The Plan Genealogies of the Kingdom. When I got this book of Israel, I turned to there and I started reading that. And I couldn't understand why I was crying every time I was reading these sermons. But it was because that was the year that I was pregnant with my last child. And I would really recommend that it be a prerequisite for anyone having a child or thinking about having a child to have to read those sermons, because it really shows you the importance of what you put in your child while they're in the womb. We have to be careful that we do not set our children, the world, in front of our children. You know, the telephone, the TV, the books, the magazines. And also, if you have relatives that want to come and visit you, because, you know, they tend to want to come and see if you're still okay. And so they want to come and visit you. You know what I suggest? I suggest that you tell them, let me send you something first. I want you to read a booklet. And I want you to read a book. And if you agree with that, then there's some people that will want to counsel you to get you into the house of Yahweh. If you don't, then there's no reason to come, because we have nothing in common. If you set your children or the world before your children, you're going to have regrets. They're going to resent you. They may even despise you, because later on they'll wonder, why didn't you keep me from these things? Why didn't you protect me from these things? You may have struggled with them when they get in their teenage years. That's when they need you the most. That's when you need to draw closer to them and encourage them so that they don't draw to the world. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, come out from among them and be separate. Do not touch the unclean thing, that I may receive you. We need to keep these things away from our children. There may be things in your lives that will separate you from your children, and some things you cannot change. And you accept that Yahweh has that will in your life. That's where you still have to take your stand of who you belong to. Children may be taken away and children may leave, but they still need to know that you love Yahweh and that you belong to Yahweh. When two of my children were stolen from Yahweh, or Yahweh allowed them to be taken, I should say, and two left on their own, I make no judgments, but I let them know that when they left, that was the last time that I would speak with them unless they returned. It's been 13 and a half years. About a year ago, I got a phone call. It was on the Sabbath. The person on the other end of the phone said, "I need to let you know that your son died. Listen, children, you don't have any protection outside the house of Yahweh. None. I wanted to say my sons died when they left the house of Yahweh. This is the only place there is life. This is the only place that we have life. We belong to Yahweh. And Yahweh will prove us to be fit for his kingdom. I praise Yahweh for being able to share this with you, only because I want you to know how important it is to teach your children that the time that you have with now, make it so that you won't have any regrets and that they will forever know that they also belong to Yahweh. And this time I'll turn it over to one who does belong to Yahweh.
Hello, everyone. I am a daughter of Yeshua Abel. Deaconess Alekia, you may be seated. The sentence, "I belong to Yahweh and your children belong to Yahweh," is one of the many counsels and one of the first counsels that I was given by my great counselors in the house of Yahweh. Our children do belong to Yahweh. The topic of this speech is how to get along with your teenagers in the house of Yahweh. And the title for this speech is "Trust in Yahweh, Trust in the Priest of Yahweh, for the young women and the young men that walk and dwell among you belong to him." So teenagers, young adults is what I looked up in the books of Yeshua. And the search is 25 pages long. But the book of Yeshua that really nailed it was the fourth book of Yeshua in chapter 17. And that was in the 90s. The date for that is 2-10-90. And I was only 12 at that time. Pastor really builds up our children in Yahweh's house. And that could be one of the first lessons that we learn as we arrive in Yahweh's house, is to build up our children that we may never have regrets and never put stumbling blocks in front of them, so that they may always remain with us and Yahweh, of course. Now, as a young adult, we one day developed our own goals and purposes in life and talents such as maybe one day being a great electrician, but for right now just pulling things apart, like flashlights and whatnot. And their talents might be conflicting with us, but that's okay, because as long as they're righteous, they belong to Yahweh. Now, the bond that I find in a family and the bond that just really brings us together is the responsibility for each individual in our home to reverence Yahweh. That's overall the bond with it. So many conflicts and differences of personality. Reverencing Yahweh is what will keep us together. Now, because of their perspective is changing and they're setting goals for themselves and the way they see life and many other influences around them, which I praise Yahweh for, because the great women of Yahweh are wonderful influences, and men of Yahweh for our children in these last days. Now, their perspectives are also setting in, and you have to think. The only way that you can instill within them, but without being forceful, the love for the laws of Yahweh and the joy that you have for Yahweh's work is by mere example, and that's the only way. If you want your children to remain in Yahweh's house forever, learn to love the work of Yahweh, learn to love Yahweh's house. And so therefore, it's also been pronounced upon us a sentence by our great witness in the environment that we set our children in and what we put in front of them and the path that we set in front of them. So be very mindful of all the tentacles that Satan has out there, because if to you it might be just a simple thing like just texting rather than calling, but it's just being on the phone longer. So things like that they see. There's many things that, like the great Kohana said, Satan's way smarter than us. It is also our responsibility as called at once of the house of Yahweh to set forth the righteous environment for them and to develop the greatest love for Yahweh in these last days. And we have the greatest power to teach the laws of Yahweh. That daily oblation that our great overseer spoke about, how people would go for miles and miles to learn the laws and read the laws of Yahweh and hear the laws of Yahweh. We have it available to us to sit in front of our children daily. I remember when our children were small, our young women and men were small, we would play the laws of Yahweh every night. And I can still remember them because of that. And the Proverbs throughout the day, it's so readily available. There's just no excuse why not to. Also, in my daily findings, I find that the most original way to do this is me and you, because our children go out to work with you. So all of us and our loyalty and our love and our joy that we have for the work, the loyalty that we display for the workers, and the loyalty that we have towards our great overseer, where we seek nothing but to be helpful and harmless and humble in everything that we put our hands to do. Our obedience to the administration and the discipline that we set forth in keeping all the regulations and all the statutes that have been set in Yahweh's house, like driving 10 miles an hour, or making sure that we set our orders before the closing time. Simple things like that. Find a way to make it work. There is no blaming or complaining. Our own hopes of eternal life, share them with your children. I mean, we're barely babes in eternal life. So we ourselves have hopes and longings that we yearn for one day. Being a great mom, being a great gardener, are some of those. Share them with your children. And also, and very important, is the zeal that you have for the elementary things. As a Sabbath day, the very first things that we learn, like the eating of the butter and honey, and the peace that it brings to us. But overall, the going to the priest and trusting in the priest, because I don't think that in the way that this world has raised us to be, we have the right mindset to raise children. So without Yahweh's priest, without trusting in Yahweh's counsel, we probably wouldn't be able to raise our children to remain in Yahweh's house. Don't ever think that you or your children have more common sense than the priest or our great overseer. And the last is the environment that you put forth in your own person, your own beliefs, and your attitude. It's one of the most important environment for your children. I believe in the prophecies that have been pronounced upon them to treat them as whom they are. They are future and are now. Daniels and Jeremias and Noras walking amongst us, they are the disciples of Yeshua Hawkins. All throughout history, it has been shown that the prophets were young when they developed that love for Yahweh and Yahweh's house and Yahweh's work to where they would give up their life for nothing in return except for the work of Yahweh. So these are the young women and men that our great overseer has developed within our own children. So build them up. And that the fourth book of Yeshua, chapter 17, it's a great manual for that. I suggest you take that as your homework for today. Now let your attitude above all setbacks, daily setbacks, and troubles of the day, which might be many, depending on how many you have, children, that your overall and above desire for your children to remain in Yahweh's house and to love Yahweh's work more than all else. And that includes not running them away with your own emotional problems and setbacks. So don't play out your emotions on our young ones. Correct them as they should be corrected, whom they are. They are the disciples of Yeshua, the daughters and sons of Yeshua Hawkins. In Proverbs 16, verse 6, it reads, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By the reverence of Yahweh, man depart from evil." The mercy that you show towards your children on a daily basis in teaching them the laws of Yahweh, and the truth and the reverence and the love that you develop for Yahweh's house is what's going to keep our young women and young men in Yahweh's house and in Yahweh's way straight and narrow. And with that, I appreciate your time and the opportunity to speak before the call that morning.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I would like to begin my speech today by showing you one thing. This. Right? Everyone sees it? Do you know what it is? What is it? Yes, it's a trap. Traps are very important. You need different traps for animal control. You need it to sometimes protect your animals from the rodents and the critters. Sometimes you need the traps to catch the rodents before they enter your dwelling and destroy your roofs. Right? So we all agree traps are important, right? It's even, one more thing for about a trap, it's even an obsession for 12-year-old little boys. Obsessed. And one trap is never enough, believe you me. Watch the trap. But when I look at this trap, it reminds me of the world. Doesn't it? It reminds me of the world. Of the various traps that lay in wait for us. So we have this trap that represents the world. So you have this trap. When you have this trap and you want to put it out to catch the various critters and animals, you put it in the middle of the field, empty, right? Do we put a trap out in the field empty? No, we don't put a trap out there. You're catching nothing with an empty trap. So what do you need to put in the trap?
Bait.
Okay, so we need some bait. Maybe some cattle cubes or some bones to attract the critters, right? But since this trap represents the world, we have different baits that draws us to this world. Some might be music, entertainment, books, the internet, the phones, games. All these things are distractions, the baits. To tell you the truth, my bait was Clear Wire, the internet. That was my bait and my trap that caught me. It's because the internet, everyone has the internet these days, give and take. It is easily at your fingertips. You want to find a recipe, it's on the internet. You want a game, it's on the internet. You want a friend, it's on the internet. You have everything on it. Books, movies, everything. So, with that in mind, I would like you all to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're reading from, it is on page 904, and we're reading from verse 17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate. Notice that word, separate, says Yahweh. Do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says Yahweh Almighty. So you notice what Yahweh is commanding us there, to come out from among them. Yes, we live in the country. Yes, we are separated. But when you have the baits, such as Clear Wire, you will not be totally separated. So, because I had this problem of the internet, I had to solve the problem, right? We all know Clear Wire went out of business a few weeks ago. So I was forced to detox from the Clear Wire. It was not easy. So to take my mind off of it, I started a club. And I got a membership card in the mail. It's the IAA Association. And it stands for Internet Anonymous Association. Because I had to detox and I needed some steps to detox from the internet. It works for alcoholics, so why not the internet too, right? Yes. So now, every club need a motto, right? Or something to go by to know what you're about. And our motto is found in 1 Yohanan chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. And it says, do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. The things, the music, the games, whatever it be, the phones. For anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father. It is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passes away with the lust that is in it. The world will pass away. But he who does the will of Yahweh abides forever. So if you do the will of your Father and follow the commandments and follow his teachings of the house of Yahweh, you will abide and live forever. But you cannot live forever with this bait. By the way, we are taking members, okay? Feel free to join up. So now, while going through this detox and going through my different mottos and everything like that to help me come away from this pull, I came upon a story on the internet. And it was saying the negative effects of smartphones. So it had this family, a mother, a father, and children, and they had it all. They had the internet, they had the phones, the tablets, everything they had it, the parents bought it for them. So at the dinner table, instead of the parents interacting with the children one-on-one, the children were like this. And the parents were like, oh, I have to take this call. It's my boss. And so it was going. So it broke down the family unit. No interaction, no speaking to one another, things like that. So the mother decided, I will take the phones away from the children. And she did. And after she took away the phones, after the gripes and the quarrels and the ups and the downs, because they were upset, believe you me, what occurred was that the bond of the family started to come together again. The family unit started to bond and they started to interact and do things together, whether they went to the park, whatever have you. They did it together. The bond of the family came back together without that bait, right? So, yes, we know the phones and the internet and things are important for the Israel Cells program, but beyond that, they always try to sell you, oh, child safety, or they have apps that can block your child from certain sites. But that is not a foolproof method. It is not, because you have hidden apps now where they can conceal it as calculators. But the internet and the phones and all those technology have a downfall. And the reading from National Desert News, it says, five reasons to put down the smartphones, which is powered by the internet. It makes us anxious. And there's even a disease called smartphones anxiety, meaning when you're taken away from it, you go through anxiety, you start to cold sweat, everything. It affects your parenting skills because instead of spending time with your children, you're spending time with the phones. It hurts relationships. It actually might be addicting. And we do know, if you are true and honest to yourself, it is addicting. So no matter what baits you have, we need to get rid of these baits because we need to build a family bond in the house there, because Yahweh laws is based on family. It is based on the family, whether it's your physical family or your spiritual family. That is what it is based on, love for one another. So, since we are part of this club, I have homework for you. I want you to, when you in your spare time, I want you to draw a T column like this. And on one side, I want you to write down your baits, whatever it might be. And then on the other side, I would like you to replace it with something of Yahweh, meaning the classes, support the classes. We have many, many, many talented, creative women. Support the classes. And always, these baits take our mind off of our end result, our end goal. It takes your eyes off of the ball. And what is our reward in the end? What we're aiming to? What is it? Eternal life. So these baits are just distractions that will keep you from obtaining this eternal life. Sisters, it was a privilege to speak before the call out ones, and I'd like to turn it over to the next teacher.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh, you may be seated. My name is Deaconess Atalia, and today it is truly an honor and privilege to stand before the colored saints of Yahweh, great women of the great house of Yahweh. We were called and asked to be able to prepare a speech before you today. And the title of my speech, it comes with a question. What does Yahweh his great house has in common with God's Elohim the worship of demons? And the answer to that question is absolutely nothing. The reason for me choosing to do such a speech, I did have the honor and privilege to work with the young children in the great house of Yahweh. And I must say it's an honor and privilege to be able to be before such wonderful saints, such young, pure mind that Yahweh is using in these last days to build the great house of Yahweh. But in doing so, I had the privilege just within this week to work with the children in the prophetic, in the booklet of Halloween. And I find it quite interesting trying to break down such deep information to such young minds. And in order for me to teach them, I felt I had to kind of prick at their brains, ask them a few questions. And I was trying to break down the word of gods. What exactly is a god? What exactly are demons? Because as parents, we must be able to break down these things in the mind of our children. Yahweh has spoken time and time again in the scripture, telling us we must not be found ignorant to the facts of gods and demons because it has nothing to do with the worship of Yahweh. And in doing so for my household, it brought me to a specific scripture, and I would like to share it with you today. If you will turn with me to 1 Samuel 28. It is found on page 247. And I will begin from verses 5 and try to see if I can go through, covering the story of King Saul in his plight for an answer at the point of his life when he was completely blind, groping in darkness, looking for a God to provide him an answer. And it begins when it says, when Saul saw the Philistine army, he was terrified. Terror filled his heart, the seat of his intelligence. And when Saul inquired of Yahweh, Yahweh did not answer him, not by dream, nor of Urim, or by the prophet. Then Saul said to his attendants, find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go to her and inquire of her. His attendant answered him and said, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. So Saul disguised himself, put on other clothing, and he went with two others, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, consult a spirit for me and bring up for me the one I named. Then the woman said to him, you know what Saul has done. He has expelled mediums and the spirits from the land. Why then should you set a trap for my life to cause my death? And Saul vowed to her in the name of Yahweh, saying, as surely as Yahweh live, no punishment shall fall upon you because of this thing. And then the woman asked, whom should I bring up for you? And then he answered, bring up Samuel for me. Then the woman saw Samuel. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? Because you are Saul. The king said to her, do not be afraid. What did you see? Then the woman said to Saul, I see a god, spirit coming up from the ground. So he asked her, What does it look like? Then she said, an old man coming up, and he's covered with a robe. Then Shaul, thinking it was Samuel, bowed down and paid homage with his face to the ground. Samuel, impostor, said to Shaul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And Shaul answered, I have a great distress. The Philistines are fighting against me, and Yahweh have left me and answered me no longer. Now by the prophet, nor by the prophet, nor by dream. This is why I have called you, so you may tell me what I must do. Then Samuel impersonator said, why do you consult me, since Yahweh has turned from you and has become your enemy? Yahweh has done what he's predicted by my hands. Yahweh has torn the kingdom from your hand and has given it to your brother David. Because you did not obey the voice of Yahweh and cried out and carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites, Yahweh has done this to you. Well, I would like to stop here. And the reason I want to really break down the length of this, it was very troubling. This particular scripture, I see many preachers in the world trying to bring forth an answer. And they have never been able to find an answer, because most of the time they will go to the King James Version, who have this particular scripture very twisted, and there is no answer. Great House of Yahweh, the answer is only found in the Great Book of Yahweh. Great House of Yahweh, the answer can only be found when Yahweh has given you the one sent, the one he has chosen to be able to break down this knowledge to you. The reason I read this scripture is because it was troubling. I found it interesting. If you read a scripture without the book of Yahweh, you will kind of be deceived, thinking that Yahweh allows demons and spirits to be able to bring answers. Great House of Yahweh, where can all the answer under the face of the earth be found? Nowhere else but the Great House of Yahweh. At the lips of the priest. And not a dead priest, as Shaul was seeking one man that is already dead. There is no spirit that can give us answer. Yahweh will never allow the gods to be able to bring us answer. I wanted to break this down to the children so that they may understand. And as I said, children, even I consider myself a child, because I'm still learning under the feet of the mighty priest. Today we have booklets that can help edify our children. Satan and all of her plan has set traps to deceive the minds of the people, to deceive our children. Even in trying to break down the teaching of Halloween, we were able to see there are many gods that set up today that they're worshiping. They're all worshiping and practicing demon worship. Yahweh has no fellowship with the gods. He will never have, and it will never be. So it is our duty to educate our children, bring them to the knowledge of the truth. Yahweh said, I will not have you ignorant concerning these matters. Also in the world, they will promote their Halloweens, they will promote their holidays, they will promote their eating and drinking. In the book of Corinthians, Yahweh has given us, I just heard many of it being quoted, but to have no fellowship with the gods, the unprofitable works of the devil. We do not have anything in common with the works of the devil or the gods. So it is our duty to, as parents, as mother, to bring the knowledge of the gods and the truth so that they will not be found ignorant of the worship of the gods. And with this, I thank you for your time, and I turn over to the next speaker.
Hello. Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today, I would like for you to put your mind upon my title. And my title of my speech today is Investing in Yahweh's Kingdom. Investing in Yahweh's Kingdom. When we think of the word invest, we think of the word money. Because in order to invest, you got to put a little bit of what you got in your pocket and hopefully in the end get a profit, right? But invest, in the Webster's Dictionary, if you look hard enough, there are other definitions, and I would like to read this to you. To make use of for future benefits or advantages. To involve or engage, especially emotionally. So that, put that definition in your mind, and let me say this title again. Investing in Yahweh's Kingdom. It's more to it than just the word money, okay? So when you think of Yahweh's Kingdom, we think of the word eternal. We do. But going along with our theme, the kingdom is our children. Do you agree with me? It is. And I'll prove that to you. All with Yeshua's words. So let's go ahead and turn to Luke. Luke 18:16. Luke 18:16, I'm going to read through to 17. It's on page 804. Now, at this time, all the children were wanting to see Yeshua, right? Setting the scene here. And this is what Yeshua said, because the disciples were like, no, don't bring the children to Yeshua. And Yeshua said, okay, but Yeshua summoned them to him and said, permit little children to come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of Yahweh. Truly I say to you, whoever will not accept the kingdom of Yahweh like a little child will certainly never enter into it. So Yeshua compared the kingdom to the children. We know in this scripture he talks more about humbleness. Now let's add a little bit more to that. Let's go to Yakana Mark, chapter 9. Yakana Mark, chapter 9. Verse 36. On page 770. Yakana Mark 9, 36 through 37. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not only me, but him who sent me. Yeshua loved children, didn't he? So let's do our third account here, Matithia 18. So there's no doubt that we know this kingdom of Yahweh has everything to do with our children. Matithia 18, found on page 745. 745, chapter 18, Matithia 18, verses 3 through 5. So this is Yeshua saying, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of Yahweh. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Now, if you recall, last week, Pastor said something that kind of really set me on, I was kind of struck in the heart when he said that parents, you know, when they first see their child, they're so, woo, bubbly, they're in diapers, and they're taking care of their child 24 hours a day, and when they grow out of those diapers, they get to where they want to rebel, when they got a mouth on them now, their own mindset. And then you want to forsake them. You want to forget them. You want to do what the United States has been teaching all parents. When they're 18, kick them out of the house. Let them take care of themselves. What occurred, right? What occurred in between those times? So this message I want to emphasize is not just for parents. It's for everyone who stand as a parent, a guardian, a teacher in the house of Yahweh. Because a lot of our children, they spend a lot more time with us than their own parents sometimes. Okay? So we have a big impact on them. So how do we invest in our children? Well, we know, right? Because we've been taught in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up the child in the way that he shall go, and when he is grown old, he won't depart from it. Okay. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7 says, teach him diligently. Okay, yes, 24 hours a day. We know we're supposed to teach them. We're supposed to send them to the classes. But still, they're not that standard that Yeshua is speaking about in the three accounts we talked, what we read here in the scripture. Why are they not that humble child? Why are they still refusing? Why are they still arguing? Why do they want to leave and just say, Mom, I had it, you know? Why is it? Is it because it's you? Is it because it's me? A lot of times, it's not the child. It is us. It is us. And that's the number one thing we have to admit. Because we lived with the quote that says, do as I say, don't do as I do. Isn't that true? But let me tell you the reality. The reality is monkey see, monkey do. Isn't that true? How many times have you fixed your hair a certain way and you see a girl, the very next week she has the hair the same way? A little girl. Or maybe you're sitting a certain way and then the little child sees you and they're trying to fix themselves to sit the same way. They mimic you constantly because they want to grow up. They really do. They want to grow up, but they also catch our habits. And when you think you can't get along with a child, a lot of times you come to find out that that daughter or that son you can't stand, or that niece or that nephew or that student is exactly like you. Whoa. They really are. You'll come to find that out. So it's us we have to look at. It's us. So let's break down Proverbs 22, verse 6 that says, train up the child. Train up yourself. Train up your character. Do I accept correction when I am corrected by my authorities or by a child? Do I accept that? When you want the child to work along with others, do I work well with others? Because they're watching you. Speak kindly. Say shalom. Well, do I? When I get mad, do I ignore somebody and just pretend like I didn't see them? Right? Or I go back and I just gossip about her? What am I doing? Deuteronomy 6, 7 through 8 says, train them, train them. House of Yahweh is not a babysitting club. Okay? You don't drop off your children and just expect miracles to occur. You can't. Yahweh gave you this gift. You have to work to constantly hold on to this gift. You need to attend the classes. You need to read the prophetic word, the newsletter, and not waste your time on entertainment. Entertainment, yeah, we don't watch TV. But like the judge said, we're always on the internet looking for other stuff, right? Or you rather stay home instead of lending a hand to Yahweh's work. What are you showing your children? And being bored and saying something is not interesting, it spreads like a disease. I am telling you the truth. It's a spiritual disease. You can make anything enjoyable. My motto in life, which I've learned since I was a little child, is nothing's boring if you have someone to share it with. And this is a beautiful family to share it with. When you can come to the classes, you can fellowship. When you can have the wonderful, righteous meals, healthy to you. I mean, what other better place? This is a house of Yahweh society neighborhood within itself. You should make training so enjoyable. When you teach your child, make it the most exciting thing ever. Not like when you teach a child make baking cookies, and I fall short for this because I know lots of children like to bake with adults, and they're throwing the chips here, and they're not putting the right ingredients at the right time, and you're yelling, you're hollering, you kick them out of the kitchen. They're not going to want to make cookies with you ever again. So if you use that same kind of style of teaching the prophetic word, I said the word was righteousness. It's not going to work. It's not. So get creative and teach it. And this is for all parents, all parents. Remember what Yahweh, what Yeshua said, don't permit them from entering to Yahweh's kingdom. Work on ourselves so that our children can reflect what we know Yahweh wants of us and of them. Put that investment in the kingdom by putting your time, your investment, your engagement into your children so they can follow suit. Pave that way for them. And with that, I'd like to turn over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. So, if you can write this down, I will be speaking on the topic of how to cope with your family in your teenage years and remain righteous in Yahweh's laws and please Yahweh and make it into his kingdom. Got that? Who needs me to repeat it? How to cope with your family in your teenage years and remain righteous according to Yahweh's laws and what was the rest of it? Please Yahweh and make it into his kingdom. Nice job. Okay, you all got that down, right? Okay. I have a question. If you are 13 to 19, raise your hand if you're a baptized member in Yahweh's house. I fit into that category. Baptized member in Yahweh's house? Wow. So most of us, 13 to 19, are baptized members in Yahweh's house and maybe even office holders, correct? Raise your hand if you're an office holder, deaconess. Okay. Okay. So Yahweh knows exactly what's going on in your heart and in your mind, and he's holding you accountable for your own actions, correct? Yes, have you ever been told that? You ever been told that? Okay. And that's what we've been taught in the Peaceful Solution as well, right? Okay. So I'm going to be using the 7th Book of Yisrael, Part 2, and the Book of Yahweh for references, and I got some definitions from a dictionary. Okay, so looking at the word cope, C-O-P-E, that word cope itself, I want to start off with the definition, means to contend or strive. This is from the American Heritage Dictionary. To contend or strive, especially on even terms or with success, or through the difficulties and challenges, and to act to overcome them. Notice it didn't say with the people. It said with the challenges and the difficulties. And the last part was to act to overcome them. To overcome them. That means you have to take some action. It's hard work sometimes. So when you think about your family, you have, you're around my age, you have your mother, your father, you're in Yahweh's house, you're probably involved in the work somehow. You have your siblings, and it may be, you may be the only child, or you may have 5 or 10 siblings. Whatever Yahweh has blessed you with, and challenges always come, correct? I see big smiles on all our young people's faces. Challenges always come. You have many different personalities. You have brothers, sisters, father, mothers. So-and-so doesn't like this. So-and-so doesn't like that. I don't like any of that. And sometimes you really need to stop and think, what is going to help me overcome the difficulties that I face, right? There's four characteristics and things of Yah that I'd like you to write down that brings the last one, unity. So the four, it's obedience, thankfulness to Yahweh, the attitude of servitude, and humility. Those four things. Thankfulness, obedience to Yahweh, the attitude of servitude, and humility. Those four things will help you in family day-to-day life. Because you have humility, okay, you're humble to obey the instructions coming from your parents or your counselors, your teachers, your supervisors. It helps you in all areas of your life. You have humility to serve the people in your family instead of thinking it's a burden. You don't. Okay, here we go again. You know, personally, it helps me to think, oh, okay. If you're humble enough, you'd see yourself as, you'd lift everybody else above yourself, correct?
You do what Yahshua says, and the greatest among you is to be your servant. And you think, well, these are people in Yahweh's plan. They belong to Yahweh. I belong to Yahweh too. So I want to serve them. Right? I want to serve them. And that's what the attitude that would help you anywhere. I want to serve Yahweh. I want to serve his people. I want to serve his people that are close to me, that I associate with every day. So thankfulness, being thankful that you have your parents in Yahweh and your counselors to guide you in the way of Yahweh, because out in the world, they don't have that. How many of you have ever seen the news, the bad news out in the world? Yes? It comes from no strict teacher, no guidance. They do whatever they want to do, and they don't, you know, have the blessing of having the righteous teachings that we have and the endless righteous counsel that we do have as well. Excuse me. And which brings unity, right? Because, and I want to get into that more, because if you're not in unity with your family, and if Satan can get you to always be in disagreements or always wanting to rebel, one person, like the peace resolution says, the ripple effect, either positive or negative, blessings or curses, one person always disagreeing can cause hardship, a lot of hardship in a family, especially if it's a child. One person, the same one person, obeying and being humble and being a servant can cause and bring many blessings and joy and peace of mind. So if Satan can get you at an age where she thinks, well, I'm going to make this, you know, young person, how old are you? 15, 16, you don't want to obey, you don't want to follow instructions, you hate getting up of a morning to do Yahweh's work or to even rejoice in anything he set before you. Okay, well, here are some distractions, and she can pull you out, which that's what she wants to do because she knows the potential that we have. You know what one does when they do that? They've lent a hand to Satan, who in Isaiah 14 says she's weak in the nations, right? And what else is in that chapter? She said, I'll be like the Most High and raise myself above the stars, even the young stars. The ones that she knows, oh, they're going to be teachers one day. Yeah, well, if I can get them when they think that every day is miserable, they won't ever make it there. Who wants to lend a hand to Satan? None of us, right? We have Yahweh's plan being taught to us, and we have the goals to make it into his kingdom. We don't want any part of Satan's world. Now, to help us, very briefly, in the seventh book of Yisro, part 2, the sermon dated 11-2407, and I remember this sermon so well because back at that time, I needed to hear this. Because I needed to hear it, and I was having trouble at school and all this kind of stuff. So when Pastor said this, it really stuck in my mind. And he's reading in Daniel 12, verse 12. Actually, I'll give you the title because it shows a big picture. It's keeping the Sabbath as Yahweh keeps the Sabbath, number 31. A special blessing on those who waited and came to November 27th, 07. I'm sure you remember that time. Now, he's reading Daniel 12, verse 12, and he says, blessed is he who waits. And he said the Savior means, this word waits means endures. And he said in verse 46, it's in family life. You know, they have trouble either with their children, and the worst thing is to not seek counselor's advice. And then in verse 50, I want to read it to you just the way he said it. He says, something recently took place, and I said, you know, it just brought to my mind, and the main thing that Yahweh wants us to realize and start learning to associate it in our lives is tolerance. Write that word down, tolerance. You know, in dealing with different people, other people, we're always going to be different, but we can learn to tolerate what we think, quote unquote, are faults of others. Because a lot of times, the things that aggravate someone is not always sin. It's just a dislike. Praise God. Which may just be a habit that somebody wants to do and doesn't want to break. That's irritating to you, especially a child, most likely a parent. The parents have many. The child gets to where they can't stand them sometimes. But if the children would realize that the parents would realize this is a lesson Yahweh wants us to take and accept, it would bring peace between us. And I encourage you to go back and read that sermon along with the beginning sermons, because he really shows us how Yahweh is looking at how we perform with our brothers and sisters to be in unity. And that word tolerance, I want to give you the definition for it. And it means
inclined to, or well, the capacity for, or the practices recognizing or, okay, hold on. Inclined to tolerate the beliefs and practices or traits of others and being able to withstand or endure in an adverse environmental condition. And even when you look it up in the Greek, it means to put up with, to endure. So when we look at each other's faults, we can overlook them and be like Yahweh, be merciful and compassionate, knowing that that's the way we'd want to be treated. And not being quick to jump on those things, because many times it's not breaking Yahweh's law, it's just something that irritates you. So if you can talk it out with that person, and at the same time, don't be the one that has to be tolerated, be at peace with one another. And for my last scripture, if you can turn to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 11 through 16, I won't be able to read all of it right now, but if you can go home and read it, and pay close attention to verse 14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you through prophecy, with laying on the hands of the body of priests. And verse 16, pay attention to yourself and to the doctrines, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. And always, always remember to put your trust in Yahweh, always go with the guidance of your counselors, Deuteronomy 17:9, and seek Yahweh's kingdom first, Matthew 6:33. And with that, if you all please stand, I'll turn over to the next teacher.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. It's a great privilege to stand before the saints of Yahweh and to speak to you today. The title of my speech today is A Tree Desirable. I want you to think about those words, a tree desirable. Be turning over, please, to Genesis 3 and verse 6, please. It's on page 2. Genesis 3 and verse 6 says, so when the woman saw that the tree was desirable for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable, notice desirable, to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Now notice that Satan has the power to make her way look desirable. But that way only brings misery, and we all can attest to that. The desirable way, Satan's way, does not bring joy. And I want you to understand that no one can bring joy to you. Your joy comes from Yahweh, and it comes from within yourself. So I'd like you to keep that in mind. Be also turning over to Proverbs chapter 3. The book of Proverbs chapter 3. And verse 5 to 6. And it says, trust in Yahweh with all your heart, and do not lean upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Yahweh. Notice, acknowledge Yahweh, and he will direct your paths. And trusting in Yahweh is something that you must really think about. I'm not saying that it's something that will come to you naturally, because we all came from the sin-sick world, and we have carnality that we are fighting within ourselves. And this carnality that we have within ourselves, we distribute these things to our children. And even though our children are born in the house of Yahweh, or may have been brought here to Yahweh's house at a young age, we can see some of these things that are manifesting itself within our children. So I'd like you to think about that carefully. Now, I'd like to say to you that in my younger years, I lived in the world and being a part of the world. I did not know any of this. I thought that I had everything together. I had it all together. That's what I thought. But as time went by, I realized I needed guidance. I needed help. And being a mother myself, I know I had needed this help. So, and then also I realized that not being in close proximity in the way, in the place or the environment in which I lived as a child, I know that I had to get some help, and I had to get it fast. But when Yahweh called me to his house, rather when he brought me to his house, I realized that how much a privilege it is. And I think you can attest to that, how much a privilege it is to be in Yahweh's house. I can see the great opportunity that you young adults and children have being brought up in Yahweh's house. You have the laws of Yahweh being presented to you at a very young age. You have parents within the house of Yahweh who are also striving to correct their ways so that they can distribute this to you. And you turn this over to your children as they grow. And these children will become little Yeshuas that will run around in the house of Yahweh doing righteousness. So I want to appeal to you, appeal to the young people in the house of Yahweh, the young children as well as the young adults, and those of you who might be my age or older, I'm also appealing to you. I'm appealing to you that if you were born in the house of Yahweh or you were raised in the house of Yahweh, I want you to know you are immensely blessed. And I want you to take this to heart because it's true. Now, I know that the world has everything thrown at you and me. And children, I'm talking to you more so because the world has everything thrown at you. We've got the television. We've got the TV, television. We've got the internet. We've got telephones. We've got everything. And these things that are being thrown at you and me tantalizes each and every one of our minds and our hearts. But more so, it tantalizes the children that we have to bring up in Yahweh's house. So parents, I want to ask you this, to do this carefully to your children. We are responsible for them. We cannot shirk our responsibility. We have to give them what is pertinent to bring them up in the way of Yahweh, which means that we must not put any stumbling blocks in their way. I also want you to know, children, that the house of Yahweh is your spiritual mother. Whether or not you have parents here in the house of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh is your spiritual mother. Don't ever think within yourself you know more than your mother. I want you to know you don't. Even more so, you don't know more than your father in the house of Yahweh. And overall, collectively, you don't know anything more than Yahweh. We will never catch up to him. Now, these things that the world throw at our children and us, and we get caught in these things only causes us to collect the misery that comes with them. And I know when these things come to us, we will say, as Proverbs say, oh, I would I had listened to instruction, but then it's too late. So I will implore you and myself to seriously look within ourselves and help one another to overcome the little things that we are struggling with. Don't turn your eye the other way and say, well, that's her problem or his problem. Every time you see a child in the house of Yahweh not doing what is correct, it is your duty to correct it. And children, I would like you to know that Yahweh loves you very much. And the reason why I'm saying this is because as a mother, I am thinking, and I had been saying this for past years, I would I had my children here. I would I was able to give them what you are getting here. And I am thinking that if they had it, it would be a blessing. But you know what? It wasn't their time. So I comfort myself that when it's their time, they will know they belong to Yahweh. But I'm telling you, you belong to Yahweh, and you need to stand with your parents. And you parents need to teach your children in the way that they must go. That is what Yahweh said. He said, train up your children in the way they must go. And when they are old, they will never depart from it. Now, why would he tell you to do that if he didn't want you to do that? And children, why would you buck up against your parents knowing that Yahweh says you must listen and obey? I want to also implore you. It is important to keep yourself from accepting Satan's spirit of saying, I know more than my parents. But I want to tell you something. Yahweh has given us great promises. Be turning over to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, and it says this, verse 11. Yahweh himself said this. He said, "For I know the thoughts, the plans." Oh, so Yahweh has a plan. He said, "I know the plans that I have for you," says Yahweh. Now listen to this. Yahweh has put himself on a limb. He put his name there, his stamp of approval, and said, "I have a plan for you. I have righteous thoughts for you." He said, "Thoughts of peace." Really? There is no peace in the world, but Yahweh said, "I can give you that peace." Remember, Yeshua said, "I give peace not as the world, as the world give peace, but I give you peace." Also, remember that Yeshua also said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in Yahweh, believe also in me." Now today, believe in the one sent. He also said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." These mansions that he's talking about is offices. He has offices awaiting for us. We can help each and every one of us can help one another to attain these offices. Yahweh says, I have thoughts of peace and not of destruction to give you the future you hope for. Does the world have a future to hope for? I'm asking, does the world have a future to hope for? No, they don't have a future to hope for. But we have a future to hope for because we are being taught how to have righteous character. We are being taught how to respect one another. We are being taught to hold on to the donkey, not the camel's back that break when we were in the world. But it was a blessing. You know why? Because the camel was a unclean animal, an animal that we couldn't use really too much. But when we come to the house of Yahweh, we have the donkey to follow. Isn't that true? Now, I also want to tell you that in Hebrews 12 and verse 5, Yahweh says, "Despise not the chastening of Yahweh." Proverbs 3:12 says, "For whom Yahweh loves, he chastens and he corrects, just as a father corrects his sons." So, I want to say finally, Yahweh's way is the way of joy. And you may say, how so? Joy is being busily in the work of Yahweh and service of Yahweh. His way is the work of service, and that's what love is in Yahweh's house. Remember, Isaiah 58:14 says, "I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth." Well, what is the high places? Remember, King David says, "One thing I desired of Yahweh, and that I will seek after all the days of my life, to behold his beauty and to inquire of him in his sanctuary." And this is the sanctuary of Yahweh. So, in closing, I will say to each and every one of you and myself, be of great courage. Wait on Yahweh, and he will strengthen your heart. And remember that in Psalms 28 and verse 8, it says, "Yahweh is our strength and the saving strength of his anointed." His anointed is Israel Hawkins in these last days, and we are the one whom he is strengthening as well. So let us not be a desirable tree, but let us instead desire Abel. And with that, I turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Hey, the title of my speech today is, "You're a VIP to Yahweh if you VIP for Yahweh." I'll explain that by the end of my speech. First, I want you to think of something that you thought you could never live without, whether it be holidays, birthdays, a family member, personal item, a friendship. Think of something you thought you could never live without, something that you thought you needed, and then think of it when it's gone, now that it's gone from you. And then consider, is your life better off now without it? Because being in the house of Yahweh, when we chose to be here, we've all given up something, whether it be holidays, maybe it was a family member. We've heard lots of, a few of the speakers gave up children. We all give up or choose Yahweh over something in this world. Now, for my first scripture, I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. And it says, "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says Yahweh. Do not touch the unclean, and I will receive you." So what is this unclean that we've been hearing so much about today? Well, let's go over to Revelation 18, verse 4. And it says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, so that you do not partake in her sins, and so that you do not receive of her plagues.'" So we can see from all of our speakers in this scripture right here that there's plagues that come with this unclean thing that we partake of, whether it be holidays, whether it be a family member who's not or no longer in the house of Yahweh. All of these things cause plagues to come upon us, and plagues is sickness and disease. Now, I want to quote for you real quick from the September 2015 newsletter. It's on page 12. And it says, "Avoid the unclean because it causes abominations, which are sickness and diseases. Remember that breaking these and other health laws, which are shown in Leviticus 18 and Deuteronomy 4:14, makes one abominable." So when we partake of these unclean things, whether they be associating with family members not here, followers who've left the house of Yahweh, or just entertainment like we've heard of, we're actually partaking in this and we're becoming abominable. Because like the great judge said, when you start saying certain language around people, it becomes a disease. It becomes contagious. And when it becomes contagious, we're abominable. Whether we're spreading actual physical diseases or diseases that causes us to be spiritually blind or to break down one of our brothers or sisters or a child in Yahweh's house. Now, I want to go to the peaceful solution in the character unit on page 70. It's entitled Peer Power. It says, "As you get older, you rely on your friends for more companionship and acceptance. It's nice to be around others who are fun and share similar interests as you and personality traits. Having friends is great, but friends can also influence each other in a negative way. So the power of peers to influence the way we think and act, it should never be underestimated, the way they can affect us. So ask yourself, how can negative peer pressure affect your character? And decide in advance what you will say when you're approached with negativity. So whose character is it that we're wanting to achieve? Whose character is it? Yes, Yahweh's. That is the character that we are hoping, that we are striving to obtain. You know, let's go to 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. It says, "But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of a preacher of the message of the kingdom of Yahweh to fulfill your ministry." So how do we guard ourselves from this negative influence that could be our peers, it could be those we surround ourselves with, those we associate with? How are we? Because we are watchful and we're going to be on guard for everything that goes on around us. Now I want to give you two examples that we can see in the scripture of negative influence. The first one, if you want to put in your notes, is Genesis 3, verse 1 through 5. And that is when Eve was deceived. She was deceived by the serpent who told her that it's okay to dip just a little bit here and stay involved in the work of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh. It's okay to mix the two together, that you'll be all right. Do you remember who the overseer told us recently Eve was deceived by? He told us it was Cain's wives. Now, this is Eve's daughter-in-laws, so they're pretty close to her. They were in her inner circle. They were her friends. They were people that she chose to intertwine herself with. And she allowed herself to be open to this deception, to this false teachings that were not in any way part of the house of Yahweh. Now let's go to Exodus 32, verse 1 through 4. And that's when Aaron gave in to the people. He decided to build that golden calf, which we know is this money-making industry that we'd take part in when we keep all of these holidays. He gave in to the people who just wanted a god. Their life would be perfect if only they could have this. And Yahweh just couldn't quite give it to them. They needed it from the gods. Right? And we can see that even thousands of years later, they're still suffering because they just had to have a little bit more than what Yahweh could give them. And Yahweh gives us eternal life, peace, joy, abundant living, and all he asks is that we follow his laws. You know, who are we without a righteous teacher? Think about that. Who are we? Who were we if you came to the house when you were older? Who were you without a righteous teacher? Without a righteous teacher to remind us of our goals, what we're striving towards, what our ultimate destination is, we can get lax. Like some of the teachers say, you might get a little bored going to the same class over and over and over, reading the same things over and over and over, having to go and listen to the same teachers over and over and over. It can get boring if we allow it. Anything is enjoyable if we choose to make it enjoyable. Praise Yahweh. And it all depends on what you want. Because what I find enjoyable, you could care less about. And what you find enjoyable, I might not even be capable of understanding it. So we all have our strong points and we all have things that we enjoy on doing. But when we all bring everything we can do together, we make up the plan of Yahweh. We make up the work of Yahweh, and we get the job done together by working in unity. You know, I want to quote again from the September 2015 newsletter. And it said, "Since actions speak louder than words, through our actions we can teach iniquity." Think about that. Through our actions, we can actually teach iniquity to other people. And when you consider that, it's funny how a change in words can really change your entire aspect of things, the way you look at them. Because when you're sitting in front of someone and you maybe disrespect someone, or your facial gesture is completely not in agreement with what your supervisor just said, and you walk away and someone said, you know, that might have been a little disrespectful. Yeah, it's disrespectful. But when you think of it, iniquity, you are teaching iniquity to someone. That really changes the whole idea of it. Because we know that iniquity is the breaking of Yahweh's laws. Being disrespectful is breaking Yahweh's laws. So when we do these things and we think of them in our everyday lives, consider the root of what we're actually doing, and it completely can change the way that we look at things. Praise Yahweh. Now, real quick, I want to read from the Mark of the Beast, Volume 1. It's on page 21. And it says, "Egypt is a type of sin as shown in many scriptures. Those who come out of sin today will have the mark of Yahweh in their hand and foreheads, just as our forefathers of old. Then will be glorious blessings as the world has never known." No matter what we see in this world, it can seem desirable at the time. And even when we don't see the curses that come from it immediately, we know the pain that it causes. If you've ever known someone who's left Yahweh's house and they've gone into this world, you can see the pain. Now, I want to read for you real quick on, see, page 80 of the character unit, going back to the character unit. Under set your mind in advance. So setting your mind in advance is to maintain your positive character traits. Begins by first considering just how important it is to have a moral character. Just how important is the character of Yahweh to us? How important is us that we want to be in complete unity and perfection with Yahweh's great house? It says, make up your mind not to be influenced to do anything that will compromise your character. Don't do anything that will compromise our character. Now think about that when we're around people who can influence us, or when we are in a situation where we put ourselves there to allow ourselves to be influenced. Because who can control us? Who can control us? We can. We're the only one who can control me. I can put something in front of you and tell you how awesome this is or how amazing this is, but I can't make you do it. I can cause it to where when you're not setting your mind in advance that you can go from, I would never do that, to, oh my word, how could I have done that? Just because we're not setting our mind in advance. Because Satan is very crafty, and especially as women, she knows us better than we know ourselves. We can be firm, I am never going to do this, and we let our minds go for 1 second, and we've already 10 steps past where we thought we'd never go. Because we're not setting our mind in advance. So in closing, I want to close with this on page 73 of the character unit. And it's very important person. It's the making of a VIP. Okay, so everyone wants to be important, right? We all want to. If we're being very honest, we all want to be important to someone, Right? So Yahweh tells us we can be a very extremely important person to him. All we have to do is value, imitate, and practice the teachings of the house of Yahweh and the laws of Yahweh, and we'll be important to Yahweh. And it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, because at the end of the day, Yahweh is our Father, Yahweh makes the judgments, and Yahweh is our Creator. And with that, if you all stand, I'll turn it over to the next teacher. Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. My title today is Yahweh is Merciful and He is Strict Too. Now you may think, how do these two work together? Well, I'll tell you. First off, there's a song that was sung at the last feast and it said, Yahweh is Merciful. And I've had this song on repeat over and over and over because I love it. And I listened to the words and I wrote some of them down to share with you. It says, He, Yahweh, has set before us His laws, showing how we can become in His image only if we choose it. He has set before us His laws, showing us the curses and rewards. For every action, there is a cause. Choose life, keep His laws. Yes, Yahweh is merciful. But what is this mercy? Where is this mercy? In the first book of Yisrael, chapter 6, verse 90, our great overseer, he says, where is the mercy? The mercy comes from taking the crap away from this world that we are seeing take place right now. The mercy comes from stopping wars. The mercy comes from stopping thefts. The mercy comes from stopping fornication, adultery, and disease. This is where the mercy is. Yahweh would not be merciful if He allowed this to continue. That's the reason He created you, so that you could put a stop to this. It is a poor sense of mercy to think that Yahweh is going to join you in truce breaking. So that's true mercy. Now, growing up in the house of Yahweh for practically my whole life, I feel very blessed and thankful. I'm constantly telling my mother, I am so glad you were strict with me. I am so glad you showed me right from wrong. And here are the reasons. But first, before I tell you the reasons, let me define what strict means. In Webster's, it says, demanding that people obey rules in a certain way. Carefully obeying rules, principles of a religion or a particular way of life. Demanding, well, like the song says, the rules were laid out before us. And there was always a cause for every action. Yes, there was a blessing, there was a curse, there was a consequence, or there was a reward. Yes, I was raised in a strict environment, and I'm so thankful for it. And sometimes when I talk about my childhood, it makes me just feel so old. But because it wasn't that long ago, but yes, it seems like centuries ago. It was such a basic way of life compared to what I see all around me today. The basic way of life of gardening, raising animals, doing housework, cleaning, cooking, baking, laundry, ironing, all of these things. And these were things that I was taught and that I was taught from a young age and I was raised up doing. And they were enjoyable. I did enjoy them and I still enjoy them now. And we can make this basic way of living, we can make it enjoyable for our children now. I was taught as a family unit that everyone contributes. Not for an allowance or anything like that, because we were all members of that family. My grandfather, he used to tell my mother, he used to say, stop treating her like a slave. Now I thought about it. A slave? A slave is just a servant. Yes, at an early age I was taught how important, how beneficial, how wonderful it is to serve. And I enjoyed it. Yes, I went and served my grandfather. I cleaned his house. I did his laundry. Yes, I served him. Now today, these life lessons, these instructions that were taught to me growing up, haven't left me. When there's a job, it's been taught to me, jump in and do it, and do it with a willing heart. But these principles, they have to be taught to our children. Have you heard that saying, I didn't just grow up, I was raised? Yes, our children have to be raised in righteousness. They have to be taught the benefits of this.
Now, just because I was raised in the house of Yahweh and taught these principles and guided with them, that didn't mean that I didn't make mistakes or I didn't make bad choices. I did. But I had someone there that guided me, that loved me enough to correct me, to guide me every single day. They loved me so much, and that is true mercy. The foundation was laid in my life from a very young age. I was taught the scriptures, and even more importantly, I was taught the application, how to apply these scriptures to my own life. So much so that when that family was broken, because yes, I do come from a broken family. Broken because, remember, Yahweh's laws, they're what binds us together. And when we turn from Yahweh's laws, there can be no unity, there can be no family. But when this family was broken, I had that foundation already laid in my life from when I was a young child. That foundation that the house of Yahweh, this is my life. And I can't imagine anything else. Yes, I made my choice. This is where I want to be. And Yahweh willing, and I beg Yahweh every single day, please keep me in your house forever. I made my choice. I chose you, every single one of you. I chose you as my family. So now, my sisters, to all the young people listening, because you're my sisters, you have a choice as well. In the first book of Yisrael, chapter 5, verse 12, a great overseer, he's talking to the young people, and he says, "There is not much of this plan left, if you will listen closely. There is not much of man's unrestrained evil that is going on today left. I know it creeps up on you. It's hard for you to see the difference in the world and what is lasting as far as Yahweh's laws and true family. Life, love for each other, and life as a family. This is eternal. The way of the world is not. It's getting worse each and every day." I know as young people, the world can look very desirable. It can look very enticing. Like you want to go out there and partake of it. But let me tell you, you don't. You don't have to experience sin to know what sin brings. This basic way of living, it is the way. And you can take joy in it. You can fulfill your desires in this basic way of living. I know for many of you, smartphones have been around your whole lives. Right? You're young. They've been around your whole lives. But let me tell you, we grew up without them. We can live without them. Don't let such a device as a cell phone distract you or entice you away from what is right. Young people, listen closely. You don't have the answers. You don't. The house of Yahweh has the answers. Your parents are here to guide you and instruct you. Talk to them. They have the answers. If you don't think you can talk to them, talk to your counselors. If you don't think you can talk to your counselors, get a counselor that you can talk to. Talk to them. They have the answers. Now to the parents. Now I'm not a parent, but I did have a great example in my life of what a parent should be. Parents don't give up. Like the great overseer expounded, he said, the child is born, you're joyful, you're excited, you diligently teach them to read, to write, all of these things. Yet teaching them the laws has to continue. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, you must teach them diligently every day of their lives. There is no age limit. This strictness on the laws has to continue, and it won't be easy. Your child may object, but you as a parent, you're there to guide them. Yes, our children, they need structure, they need rules, they need guidelines. They may not think they do, but they do. Our children, they don't have to go out in the world to be a part of this world. Isn't that kind of a scary thought? Technology, yes, it's a blessing. We need this technology to get the message out. But when it's not monitored properly, it is a curse, like a great overseer said. Often I hear people say, my child wouldn't do that. I trust my child. What does that mean? That's not scripture. The scripture says, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way they should go. When they are old, they will not depart from it. Another proverb says, Proverbs 29:15, a child left alone brings his mother to shame. Now think about this. When you give them those smartphones and all these devices, a child left alone brings their mother to shame. As a parent, it's okay to say no. Sometimes it's absolutely necessary. Now that I'm older, yes, I thank my mother, and I'm glad I had that guidance in my life to say, no, this is the way. This is the straight and narrow way. Walk on it, because this is the only way to life. So back to mercy. True mercy to your children is guiding them in the way they should go, teaching, instructing, correcting, showing them what really matters. Yahweh is merciful, and he is strict too. So let's be like Yahweh. May Yahweh bless you all, and I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Praise Yahweh, you may be seated. These have been some really, really great speeches that we've had today. Praise Yahweh, I hope we're all paying attention because, you know, even if you're not a child or you don't have children, these pertain to every single person sitting in this room. Today I want to talk about batteries. Everybody knows about batteries, right? There's a negative side and there's a positive side. So guess what? We are all batteries. Now, our character, I almost can't even describe how important it is that we really stay on the positive side of things. I could come up here and I can talk about all the negative things that we do as parents, all the negative things that our children do, but that's not going to get us anywhere. I want to stay on the positive side of this battery. I want to paint a picture for you, and I want you to really think about this. The world has personality and character. Sometimes we tend to think only people have personality and character, but I'm here to tell you that the world has a personality and the world has a character. When you think about this world, I want you to think about what it sets forth, you know, because what is personality? It's what you put out, what others see, how it appears, right? The world appears fun. It appears so fun. It has all the glitz and glamour. The overseer even gave a sermon called The Glitter and Glamour of This World. I want you to think about this, because if I could make a commercial like the drug commercials about the world, this is how it would go. You would have the world, and you would have roller coasters, and you would have people smiling and going down the roller coasters and laughing and rolling around in the grass, right? But in the background, you'd be saying all the side effects that come from this personality. Because when the true character of this world shows forth, that's what bites. Remember, sin bites. It bites bad. It's not anything that's glitter and glamour when someone is laying in a hospital bed dying. When they have sores, when they actually have to sell all their earthly possessions because they know they're dying. Those kind of things are not the going down the roller coaster, smiling and laughing, going around the merry-go-round. Maybe going to the clubs, dancing and doing whatever they do there. But when they got the sullen, sunken faces and they have AIDS, all the things that they acquire from this glitter and glamour of the world, when they go in it because they're lured in to the trap of the personality of this world, that it just bites. It bites so bad. Many of us have been called out of this world. And many of us have been born into the house of Yahweh. Now, the house of Yahweh has personality and character, too. You know, sometimes the quiet personalities, the quiet ones, they seem that maybe they're a little shy. They're not as bold and outspoken, right? So you look at the house of Yahweh, and you look at the world, and you look at those like you would people. You know, you might tend not to want to get to know the quiet, the shy one. You know, maybe you tend to go more toward that bold, outgoing one, the one that seems so exciting and fun, right? But remember what our Peaceful Solution books teach us. You know, you could actually not learn to know a really great friend if you never take the time to get to know that quiet, shy one. And let me tell you, I'm here to tell you today that the quiet, shy house of Yahweh, and the house of Yahweh isn't really quite so shy. Because we're bold, we're out there, we're saying, we're exposing this fun for what it is, right? But I want to read from the character unit. And this is the intermediate character unit. And I want to read from the note to the teacher here. It says, more than meets the eye. How often do we as adults confuse someone's personality, which is how they present themselves to others, with their character, which is their morals and ethics? If this can occur to us, adults, this is a note to the teacher, remember, or the note to the parent. If this can occur to adults, how much more likely can it occur to our children, right? Now, I've heard some parents say, you know, I don't want to tell Susie about the world. I don't want her to know that there's roller coasters, and I don't want her to know anything about the world. But you know what? Susie's going to find a friend, right? And Susie's going to learn what a roller coaster is. And if we as parents haven't shown Susie why millions of people think that roller coasters are the way of life, but some, have you heard the news that they're actually falling out of these roller coasters? But they don't really show that on the news because it's like on the back page somewhere. You don't really get to hear about that too much. But you see all the big tickets printed where you can go to these things and ride the roller coasters. But you don't hear about the lawsuits because a few people fell out. One man died. You don't hear about these things. Just like the drug commercials, they say the side effects. But while they're telling you the side effects, you're watching people skipping through flowers. And you might pull out a gun and shoot everyone in your house. Call your doctor and see if this is right for you today. Right? But this is what the world is offering to our children. But parents, I'm going to put it on us because, you know, when I came to the house of Yahweh, I came with a 5-year-old young man who was my son. And he was a 5-year-old young man missing 2 front teeth. And I'm here to tell you regrets. But what I didn't do, the things that I didn't do, was I didn't show him how great the house of Yahweh really was because I was so caught up in living my life in the house of Yahweh. You know, we as parents, we could talk about the scriptures. We could say, you know, children, tonight I'm going to read you a story from the book of Yahweh of a man who not only could interpret a dream, but he could actually tell what that dream was. And then, wow, really? The children could get so excited. Tonight we're going to learn about kings and queens and that you could actually be a part of that. You could be a king or you could be a queen. Really? What time are we going to do that, Mom? Tonight we're going to learn about beasts that come out of the sea and another beast that comes where there's no people's, nations, multitude, and languages. Really? Yes, we're going to learn about that tonight. Okay, what time, Mom? You know, you picture Pastor, and you picture his mom, and you picture the things that were set before him, and how Maggie must have made the scriptures seem in the house of, well, not the house of Yahweh, but he knew that it was going to be the house of Yahweh, how she must have made that seem so important to the overseer. You know, to tell our children, you know, you're going to learn about two brothers, and they couldn't get along. You know how maybe you and your brother don't get along? We're going to learn what the outcome of that was and why it's so important for you two to get along. There's so many lessons in the scriptures. And, you know, I can tell you about all my regrets. I'm here to try to keep it positive. But if you build the house of Yahweh up, you could take a rock. And Yahweh says, upon this rock, I'm going to build your character. This rock. And you can say, this is just a dirty old rock. Or you could say, this is the most amazing place that I've ever had the opportunity to set my feet. You know, Pastor talks a lot about the glitter and glamour of this world, and he talked about when he was on the police force, how the policemen couldn't stand for the worldly holidays to come around, because, you know, that's what our children sometimes think that they're missing. But Pastor said that what really comes from this world is they would all get called to the house, all the police officers, because the Christians, being in the house together all day, maybe stuffing their faces with turkey and drinking a few beers and watching the game, they would start fighting and arguing, and they knew that when they went to that house, that all the family was going to turn on the police officers, because that's what they do. They live in confusion. They fight with one another, and when somebody comes in to try to make peace or break it up, they end up turning on the person that's trying to bring the peace. It's important that we show our children the difference between the personality and the character. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship does righteousness have with unrighteousness? And what fellowship does light have with darkness?" You know, look around. Just take a look around here. This is your family. This is the light. These are the people that we should be fellowshipping with. These are the people that we should be teaching our children to love. You know, if you have a problem with someone, don't ever let your children hear you say you have a problem with someone in the house of Yahweh. Don't teach them to ignore or shun people. Don't teach them to treat people like that. Because look around. This is what we have. We are what we have. We are what we have. We are our family. In Proverbs 12:26, it says, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." You know, we come here and we've got family members, right? Even we might have family members in the house of Yahweh. We may have some out of the house of Yahweh. We have to teach our children to cling to the family members in the house of Yahweh, because the family members out of the house of Yahweh will lead them away from Yahweh. Now, trust me, when my offspring decided to leave the house of Yahweh, it was hard. And it wasn't hard because I was upset at that person. And there's people who were with me when that occurred, close friends that saw me go through that. And, of course, my righteous head. But you know who I was upset at the most when that decision was made? You guessed it. Right here. It was me. Because when the priests would correct him, "Oh, they're being so hard on him." Or when this would occur, "No, my child would never do that." Yes, your child would do that. Yes, your child does do that. Yes, your child is capable of doing it. And until we can make a stand and stand with the body of priests and priestesses and know that we need to stand with them, not against them with our children, we're going to keep losing children to this world. It's that important. If I had it over to do over again, would I do it differently? You betcha. But I can't. I can only tell you I've made a lot of mistakes, and I can beg that you don't follow that same pattern. In the character, in the Building Moral Excellence unit, the note to the teacher, it says, "As human beings, we have a natural tendency to gravitate to others based on personality traits or mannerisms. People who appear to be joyful and friendly." I want you to go home, open your book, and circle that word "appear," because appearances are just mostly false. Because if they're not in the house of Yahweh, they don't have joy. They're not really joyful. So if you see them skipping around through flowers, know that they're going to have those flowers planted on their grave soon. And it's true. And I'm here to tell you that. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For Yahweh has not given us the spirit of moral cowardness, being timid and fearful, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Who taught us that? Israel Hawkins, right? Continuing to read in the character book here, it says, "Although these qualities have their advantages, yes, to be approachable and to have all these likable traits, using them as a basis for forming friendships can be devastating if we as parents have not taught our children sound character to support the personality." We have to be able to teach our children to distinguish between character and personality. So if they meet someone that's outgoing and nice, they'll be able to see, okay, and she also has a great character too. We have to have that sound character. I made a little poster here for you, and it's really important. Before I close, I want you to read this. You see that? Poster right there? You have to have a sound mind. Now see that speaker blaring? That speaker is you, parents. You and Pastor Israel Hawkins have to give them that sound mind through sound doctrine. And then and only then will your children have a sound character. And it has to start with the person looking in the mirror at us every morning to make sure that we're putting this positive battery charge, that we're only doing positive things, saying positive things, and being involved in the great positive house of Yahweh. Sisters, please don't make the mistakes that some of us have made. Teach your children while there's still hope. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And at this time, I'd like to turn it over to the men's side.